This is Deb Zuver for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Community Connections. For the next half hour, I'll read to you from websites with announcements, profiles, and other opportunities to connect with your community. To start with an announcement, Romanian deep tech company Lumen has won the CTA Foundation, and that's the Consumer Technology Association, pitch competition for accessibility at their conference CES 2026, receiving an award of $10,000, the company announced. The award recognizes Lumen's Glasses for the Blind, an AI-powered wearable that applies self-driving technology to the pedestrian world. Using real-time computer vision, spatial perception, and on-device AI, the system understands 3D space without relying on internet connectivity or pre-mapped environments, guiding users through a patented haptic interface. The CTA Foundation pitch competition brings together a group of startups exclusively from the Accessibility Showcase. It shows technologies designed to deliver measurable impact for people with disabilities. Besides this, the company has also been named a CES 2026 Innovation Award honoree, and last year it won the U.S. Army Pitch Prize worth another $10,000. Reviewer Steve Kelly writes, in the small group of professional certified vision rehabilitation therapists, or CVRT, to which I belong, it's not uncommon for us to use the term magic glasses. These are the glasses some of our clients hope to find that will improve or restore their vision. It makes sense in that for many of them, a new prescription once brought things back into focus. Vision loss from macular degeneration, glaucoma, diabetes, and other conditions is usually something that can be managed with proper care. But vision is not typically restored to what it once was. Still, the myth or hope for the magic glasses persists. Take a pair of glasses like the Ray-Ban Metaglasses. Add AI to them, and it's easy to see how these can only add to the hope that they might finally be the magic glasses those of us with acquired low vision have been waiting for. In my day job, I've received lots of calls about the Metaglasses, where to buy them, and what they will do. Let's begin with a reality check. The Ray-Ban Metaglasses were designed for social media users. Recall that Meta is the new name for the company that owns Facebook. To add pictures and videos to their social media accounts using a stylish pair of glasses equipped with a camera and speakers. Much of this is accomplished with a digital assistant like Siri or Alexa, summoned with the built-in microphone, Hey Meta. So, it's important to note that the Meta glasses were not designed for low vision or blind users. The fact that some of the features happen to be handy for people with vision loss is purely by chance, a fortunate bit of synchronicity. That also explains why, when compared to other smart glasses specifically designed for the visually impaired, they're reasonably priced, starting at less than $300 and often available locally at places like Target or LensCrafters. Another bonus of not being strictly designed as assistive technology is that they are stylish and customizable. The frames are well built, they look good, can accept prescription lenses with a wide variety of glare filters. In addition to the tech features, these glasses can have very functional lenses built right in. One feature that attracts a lot of interest is the ability to talk to the glasses and get information with voice prompts, the way you might use Alexa or Siri. While it's true, it's important to note that the glasses must be connected to a smartphone or tablet. The Meta glasses themselves are simply a hands-free place to put a camera, speakers, and microphone. All the AI processing happens on the smart device in your pocket, backpack, or purse. As a result, using the Meta glasses begins with downloading the free Meta AI app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Install it on your phone or tablet, and then connect the glasses to your device via Bluetooth. The Meta glasses have a built-in rechargeable battery and a clever charging method. The case for the glasses doubles as a charging station. The case itself charges with a USB-C cable. Whenever the glasses are placed in the case, they recharge automatically. Once the case is fully charged, it can recharge the glasses multiple times before needing to be plugged into a wall outlet. When charged, the Meta glasses will run for about 4 hours of moderate use and about 5 hours of continuous audio playback, such as streaming music or podcasts. Many of us are already familiar with AI. We use it whenever we ask Siri, Alexa, or Google Assistant a question. Apps like Seeing AI, Google Lookout, or Be My Eyes AI all use artificial intelligence to identify objects or colors, recognize text, and describe the environment. The Meta glasses use Meta AI to process voice prompts or images from the camera located on the top left side of the frames. Once paired and connected by Bluetooth, users can issue voice prompts. For example, "Hey Meta, what time is it?" Or, "Hey Meta, what's the weather?" More importantly, for those with vision loss, the glasses can be prompted to look and describe, or look and read. For example, "Hey Meta, look and describe what's in front of me." "Hey Meta, look and read what's in my hand." In each case, the glasses respond with information. Follow-up questions can also be asked. For example, if Meta says there's a car in front of you, you might ask, "What color is the car?" or "What model is the car?" Meta does have a strong impulse to summarize text it reads. While this can be handy when sorting mail, if the goal is to read an entire document, the prompt, "Hey Meta, look and read every single word," usually does the trick. Summarization is especially helpful for reading restaurant menus. Rather than listening to an entire menu from start to finish, Meta can quickly scan for certain items or summarize sections such as sandwiches, desserts, or price ranges, depending on your follow-up questions. For this writer, the ability to quickly search a menu truly conjured up the notion of magic glasses. Experts on AI will tell you that sometimes it produces what are called hallucinations. This is often said with a chuckle, like the misbehavior of an impulsive child. The Meta glasses are not immune. Users can often point to examples where the AI insisted on summarizing instead of reading fully, made something up, or gave less than accurate information. For example, when asked if there was a lamp in the room, Meta replied, "Yes, there's a lamp on the table next to the bed." It later said the lamp was several feet away. When asked again, it responded, "The lamp is slightly to the left." In fact, the lamp was on the right of center. All things considered, the fact that the objects were described at all with approximate distance was still useful. But the key point is that Meta AI is not yet able to provide reliable navigation directions or replace tools like a white cane for orientation and mobility. Processing speed is fairly quick, but not instantaneous or accurate enough for something like street crossings. As mentioned, the Meta glasses are equipped with features you'd expect for creating or consuming media content. A camera sits above the left lens. Inside the left arm, next to the hinge, is the on-off switch. Push forward for on, back for off. Inside both arms, near the ear, are speakers with surprisingly good sound quality. On the outside of the right arm is a touchpad that performs several functions. Swipe forward or back to adjust volume, tap to answer phone calls, and more. On the top front of the right arm is a small button that takes a picture when pressed. Long press to record a video, press again to stop. Lastly, above the right lens is a small light that signals when a picture or video is being captured, helpful for those with vision to know when they're on camera. Because Meta AI is a product of Meta, primarily interfaces with apps in the Meta ecosystem, WhatsApp, Messenger, Spotify. Notable exceptions, perhaps concessions to users with vision loss, are Be My Eyes and AIRA. Both can be connected through the Meta AI app and used hands-free with the glasses. The one limitation is that BMI's AI does not function with the glasses. Only calls to volunteers are supported. Finally, Ray-Ban is best known as a maker of sunglasses. I found that the Ray-Ban Meta glasses used for this review had an excellent polarized gray gradient tint, which made them terrific sunglasses even without the smart features. Most of the time, though, I wanted to use the AI functions indoors for reading. For many, a pair with clear lenses or light tint for indoor glare would be ideal, perhaps with clip-on glare filters for outdoor use. Flip them up when taking a picture. The camera on the left side took some getting used to. For photos, I often ended up missing part of the frame to the right. Also, I forgot to take off my hat on several occasions, leaving the brim in the shot. I confess there were times, usually when using the glasses for reading, that I, too, thought of them as magical, with the exception of the on-off switch, which always seemed difficult to find or use with a fingernail. But for anyone who assumes the AI can handle navigation or provide instant descriptions for tasks like street crossings, the limitations will be disappointing. In addition, some people I spoke with assumed that because the glasses respond to voice prompts, they eliminated the need to learn how to use a smartphone. That's not the case. The Ray-Ban Meta glasses are an accessibility tool only by coincidence. That makes them more affordable and, in many ways, unaware of the needs of users with reduced vision. Still, for the price and convenience, they offer a great deal in object recognition, environmental description, and reading with optical character recognition, OCR. Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses start at $299. The Meta AI app is a free download from the App Store or Google Play Store and runs on iOS 14.2 and above or Android 10 and above. Meta offers accessibility support at 855-592-2237. Finally, a reminder that the Library of North Carolina's Accessible Books and Library Services, or ABLS, is a free, convenient library service for North Carolinians who are unable to read standard print due to low vision, blindness, or physical, perceptual, or reading disability. The service is completely free for users who receive titles by downloading them and or having the materials mailed directly to and from the residents at no cost. Go to https://library.nc.gov and you will find blind, print, disabled link there. How it works, to determine eligibility, you have a qualifying condition, such as blindness, which must be certified by a competent authority, such as a medical professional, social worker, activities director of a care facility, public library staff member, and others. Then you apply, submit an application for yourself, someone else, an institution, or school. Applications are available in English and Spanish. Completed applications can be submitted via email, mail, or fax. You can personalize your service. Once an application's been approved, you'll receive a phone call from a reader advisor who will set up your account in a way that works best for you. You can contact reader advisors by phone, chat, or email, and they're available to answer questions, help with the application, change your service, and help select books to read. Maybe you love westerns and romance, and you can't get enough biographies. There are more than 150,000 Braille and audio book titles available with over 100 magazines. Books and movies can be chosen, and you can contact the library anytime to update your reading preferences. And now to our profile section. Griffin Pinkow was a perfectly healthy child until the age of 11. It was at this time that his parents started to notice some visual issues that Griffin was experiencing. Griffin was always an athlete, and if his dad threw him 100 pop flies, he would catch 99 of them. During a traveling baseball trip, Griffin was in the outfield, and he was no longer able to track the ball. This was Griffin's first step toward trying to figure out what was occurring with his deteriorating eyesight. Upon visiting a couple of doctors who felt that prescription glasses would do the trick, Griffin quickly figured out that this was not the case. After realizing that this was not a quick fix, Griffin and his parents went to doctors all over the country to try and find answers. This took them back to Griffin's hometown of Princeton, New Jersey, where he did some testing with his original ophthalmologist. His doctor advised that she saw pigment on the retina, and Griffin and his family quickly became concerned at not knowing what that meant for Griffin. A few months later, Griffin was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. Retinitis pigmentosa is a retinal degenerative disease that slowly takes your vision from peripheral to complete vision loss. Being hit with a level of diagnosis such as that can be devastating. At the time, Griffin's parents had to sit him down and let him know that he was going to slowly be losing his vision. Even at such a young age, Griffin did not let this stop him, and he was determined to move forward as best he could. Griffin did not know how much vision he was going to lose and at what time, but he remained active and still played sports and even got into marathon running with a sighted guide and tandem cycling. As an active student athlete, Griffin still faced challenges on how to be incorporated in PE and how to make sure he was getting the right accommodations in the classroom. It was also very difficult for him to explain what he could and could not see to his sighted peers. In college, Griffin's vision deteriorated tremendously, and it was difficult for him to come to grips with his new reality. His college peers did not fully understand the severity of his vision challenges, and Griffin did not want to use a cane or have a guide dog at the time. He did not want to feel different in front of his sighted peers. Griffin felt that this was one more step toward being less independent. However, he later came to realize that it was the total opposite. In Griffin's junior year of college, he began using a cane, and this made a positive difference in his college experience. He saw there was a need to explain what he was going through at the time in order to make his sighted friends and college staff better understand what it was like going through a daily routine with limited vision. By raising awareness and doing events on campus, this showed that there was a need to start something bigger. In Griffin's senior year of college, he was sitting in a living room with friends, and he came up with the idea that he wanted to start his own nonprofit organization. In 2017, after graduation, Griffin met with more people who had visual challenges, and this pushed him even further to start the Foreseeable Future Foundation. The Foreseeable Future Foundation aims to help kids, adults, and veterans become more active, feel more comfortable around their peers, and feel a sense of accomplishment. Griffin always says that if he could tell his younger self anything, it would be to embrace the visual impairment earlier as well as anything else that came with it. Griffin's attitude has always been, why worry? Instead, he always chooses to persevere through the challenges and make something better of them. Griffin aims to continue the growth of Foreseeable Future Foundation to help people in multiple aspects of their lives all around the country. For more information on Griffin Pinkow and booking him for speaking engagements, please visit griffinpinkow.com. That's griffinpinkow.com. And now a profile of the Envisioning Youth Empowerment Retreat, or EYE. It's going to take place July 21st through August 1st this year at the Governor Moorhead School. It was born after the passage of the North Carolina Disability History and Awareness Month Act. This legislation mandated that public schools teach disability history, famous people with disabilities, and disability characteristics. Specifically, the legislation suggested that individuals with disabilities be utilized to provide some of the instruction. Our founder, Dr. Alan Chase, was involved in advocating for passage of the legislation and supported curriculum development for implementation in the public schools. Thus, the EYE Retreat was born in 2008. Why us? First and foremost, 100% of our leaders and mentors have visual impairments. Our leaders and mentors are successful adults who are either gainfully employed or attending post-secondary institutions. Second, our philosophy focuses on the power of peer mentoring. Our mentors help students develop a toolbox of skills and resources by leading courses on a variety of topics, such as self-advocacy, transitioning to college life, career exploration, and soft skills for employment that will support them in their future pathways. Finally, mentors guide students in bridging theory into practice by facilitating real-world application of skills in the community, such as riding public transportation, navigating a college campus, or visiting local businesses. Go to iretreat.org. Alan Chase can be reached at Alan, A-L-A-N dot C-H-A-S-E at iretreat.org. And now the arts, some opportunities for audio description at some fabulous productions. Playmakers in Chapel Hill is presenting Steel Magnolias. Audio description on the April 22nd performance at 7:30. Pull up a chair as six sassy Southern Spitfires spill the sweet tea in their weekly beauty salon ritual. You'll laugh and cry in this celebration of love and loss and the fierce friendships that see us through. And at the Tanger Center in Greensboro on April 25th, a noon performance, and April 26th, actually I think that was a 2 p.m., performance. And then April 26th is a 1 p.m. performance. Kimberly Akimbo. Kimberly Akimbo is the winner of five 2023 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. Kimberly is about to turn 16 and recently moved with her family to a new town in southern New Jersey. In this howlingly funny heartbreaker of a show, that's The New Yorker, Kim is forced to navigate family dysfunction, a rare genetic condition, her first crush, and possible felony charges. Ever the optimist, she is determined to find happiness against all odds and embark on a great adventure. Patrons with visual impairments may purchase tickets in all price levels and sections subject to availability. Tickets are also sold at the STPAC ticket office on the night of events subject to availability. Service animals are permitted for the visually impaired. For more information on tickets for patrons with visual impairments, email Tanger, T-A-N-G-E-R-A-M-C-S, at greensboro-nc.gov. That's the Tanger Center. And then they describe their audio description approach. Select performances will have audio description available for those who are visually impaired. Audio description provides an ongoing oral explanation of what's happening on stage, including costume sets and more. The patron can wear a headset, which can be picked up at the guest services desk, and no other patrons will hear the audio set headset. Guest services can provide a full list of performances upon request of shows that have audio description available. Generally, that's Saturday and Sunday matinee performances. Now to Raleigh Little Theater. On May 3rd, The Hobbit. Bill Baggins, one of the most reserved of all hobbits, is asked to leave his large, roomy, and very dry home in the ground in order to set off as chief robber in an attempt to recover an important treasure. It's the last thing that any sensitive hobbit would want to do, but a great treasure lies in store, not only for Bilbo, but for all of the hobbits who inhabit Middle-earth. This 60-minute adaptation of the beloved tale will be a delight to those children and adults who continue to enjoy the magic of Tolkien. It's adapted by Edwin Mast, based on The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. In June, Raleigh Little Theater presents School of Rock. June 7th is the date for the audio-described performance. School of Rock is based on the hit movie Andrew Lloyd Webber's School of Rock, the musical. It follows Dewey Finn, a failed wannabe rock star who decides to earn an extra bit of cash by posing as a substitute teacher at a prestigious prep school. There he turns a class of straight-A pupils into a guitar shredding, bass slapping, mind blowing rock band. But can he get them to the Battle of the Bands without their parents and the school's headmistress finding out? So that's a fun one. You can email boxoffice@raleighlittletheater.org or call 919-821-3111. And again, that's on June 7th. The Durham Performing Arts Center, DPAC, offers The Great Gatsby on May 9th at 2 p.m. The Great Gatsby is a Broadway extravaganza that explodes with life and energy. That's from Entertainment Weekly. Based on the classic American novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald, the Tony Award-winning new musical is an unforgettable journey of love, wealth, and tragedy that brings the Roaring Twenties to life on stage. Email DPAC at accessibleservices@dpacnc.com. Once confirmed, you'll be contacted by DPAC's ticketing team to assist with ticket purchases. You should submit requests at least 2 weeks before the performance date. And again, that's the 2 p.m. performance of Great Gatsby on May 9th. The website for the Library, North Carolina Library, they've got some changes for the blind and print disabled patrons who use the website. So to be sure that you know, the web pages were updated to make it easier to find information. A summary of the changes are here. The homepage is redesigned, detailing the steps for applying and receiving services with links to other pages. Information is consolidated and used to link multiple pages. For example, the updated download and borrow page has information on materials that can be borrowed from the library instead of links to more pages. A new equipment page consolidates information on the digital talking book machines and refreshable braille devices. Moving between pages was improved by adding more pages to the main navigation menu and a new navigation on the right side of most pages. And finally, be sure to explore the Arts Access Gallery with the Digital Gallery Guide on Bloomberg Connects. That's the free arts and culture app. The guide showcases current and past exhibitions, including audio description and more. You have been listening to the April edition of Community Connections. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Deb Zuver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. I invite you to share any information. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.